Welcome back here to Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open, 512-222-9328. Of course, on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Make sure to throw in some predictions. Predictions for tonight, predictions for the first week of the playoffs. Throw those in. We're going to get to them in just a little bit. It is an open gym, open bar Friday. I'm going to open up another beer here in just a second, but cheers to you if you're drinking with us today. We appreciate you hanging out with us before the playoffs tonight. But every Friday, Matt, we like to get a little classier. You know, let Matt take us to another level of education about maybe something some people may say is a problem, but I don't think it is yet, about what we like to have in our glasses when we're enjoying a nice evening of college football. And Matt gives us his opinion on many different bourbons. We've been doing this for a while now, Matt, so you have gone through many, many different bourbons. What do you have for us this week on Matt's Bourbon Banter?
Well, I forgot to grab the bottle during the break. So I'm going to pull up a picture of the bottle real quick for everybody to put on screen. Let me get that real quick. Where is it? Well, hold on. Sorry.
He's broken it now, guys. He's broken it.
I didn't mean to break it, guys. I really didn't.
It's Friday. Matt's been drinking.
Let me try one more time. Well, you know what, guys?
You can just tell us about it.
I'm just going to tell you about it. I could go grab it, but I'm just going to tell you about it. I picked Penelope Architect. It is from a company that I really, really like a lot. Penelope is one of my favorite brands. It is the Penelope Bourbon Company. The distillery is the MGP. The release date was April in 2022. It's 104 proof. The mash bill is undisclosed, and it's got a nice dark walnut flavor to it, or dark walnut color to it. And it MSRPs for about $60, so it's not one of those ones that, you know, you're going to go out there and break the bank for. Here we go, Patrick. I got the bottle.
Oh, there it is.
It's a nice, beautiful blue label there. The nose is a little bit of toasted oak, kind of a citrus to it. Maybe some herbal stuff in there as well. The palate is also very oaky, which I really enjoy. A little bit of, you know, maybe some grape and some other citrus flavors in there. The finish is a little bit smoky, even maybe a little charcoal-y. It's pretty dry, but there's a lingering like pecan taste at the end of it too, and also a little bit of oak. It's just one of those ones that, like, you know, you're really not going to find it everywhere, because not everybody carries all of the different brands of Penelope. But if you can find it there, it's not going to be very expensive, which I really appreciate about it. And it's a polarizing taste to some. Penelope cranks it's got a kind of a French oak flavor to it. Penelope cranks their French oak flavor really highly in this one, using French oak finishing staves, a process that was made popular by Maker's Mark 26. But the whiskey doesn't cross into over oak territory either, despite being an incredibly oaky flavor to it. There's no denying the flavor of that, though, and you know, people that love the oak flavor will love this one. And it's not too highly proof, too terribly highly proofed either. It's right around 100 proof, which I really, really enjoy. So it's about a 7 on my scale, which, you know, you could put it kind of a high 6, low 7, but I'm going to choose to give it a flat 7 here. And for some reason, my scale is not loading, but that's right around very, very good to excellent for me. I would highly recommend this one to anybody who enjoys an oaky bourbon and wants to try something a little bit different. This is a good one to have around Thanksgiving as well. It's a great cold weather one, in my opinion. So Maybe good with a cigar. I don't know, but go give you a Penelope Architect a try, and I think you're really going to enjoy it.
I like that, man. I like that. Appreciate you giving us some there on the open gym, Matt's Bourbon Banter. Get us a little bit of class here on a Friday afternoon. We're gonna get to our picks in a second. Joe, just for the record, that's the easy case, that's boring case, though. That's not what I do, man. There's more process to it. Now there is Velveeta involved, there is Rotel involved, but there is a lot of other steps that go in to making a really good, very spicy, very delicious queso that I have worked on and gotten better at over the years. So you have to do it in the crock pot, put a lot of things in there, get it slowly, and then kind of build it back up. And I was trying to get it kind of started before the show, let it cook a little bit. It's looking really good right now. So I'm excited to dig into it after the show. But
you might have to send me the recipe for this, Patrick.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's also, I think, four jalapenos, four serranos, and two habaneros in there as well.
Chopped up,
diced up, dice them up, cook half with the sausage that I put in there, a nice hot sausage I put in there. And then you put some just in there as well. You got to put in some real cheese as well. Because you don't want all of just the Velveeta. It's too processed, so you got to do some real cheeses in there too. But you just do all of that. It's very, very good. But I make a ton of it because, you know, you make it and then, you know, we'll come over and everybody will have it for a quarter and then just start drinking and stop eating. So, but I got to get it ready because I don't want to be cooking while the game is on tonight. I want to be able to get it going as we continue to go. Matt, let's get in to our picks, because we're going to pick all four of the championship games. So we will talk about them as we pick them and kind of break them down a little bit more. As we got 45 minutes left in the show today, we've got about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes or so. I think the game's going to kick off. Sorry. I always say tip off for football and kick off for basketball. I don't know why. My brain is dyslexic in these things that I think about. I don't know why it does it, but that is what my brain does. But we're going to start off with the game tonight, Matt. Alabama at Oklahoma. We have it at Oklahoma favored by 1.5, basically meaning this game would be favored by whoever was the home team. This is a, Vegas says, very even matchup. So whoever's the home team was going to get the rub on this one. It started with Alabama as a favorite. Oklahoma is now the favorite at 1.5. Matt, what do you like about the game tonight? Even though we've been talking a lot of trash about John Mateer, now is the part where you come back and you say all the nice things.
Here's the thing. I think that Oklahoma's defense is good enough to win them this football game. And I think that, I think Joe's right. If John Mateer can play a clean game, then Oklahoma has an excellent opportunity to win it. I just don't know that John Mateer has the ability to carry this football team if they need him to, which, especially on a big stage that he's never been on before, which is why I'm going to lean Alabama. I'm picking Bama to cover. I'm picking Bama to win. I do think it's going to be close. I just think that John Mateer, given everything that we've seen over the last few weeks, is going to make a critical mistake in this football game. And if Bama can avoid the turnovers themselves, then I think that they win. That's going to be easier said than done, because I think Oklahoma has a really good defense. Yeah. But if Bama plays a clean football game, they win this game. I think if Oklahoma plays a clean game, it's still going to be very hard for them to win this game. So I'm leaning Bama.
Yeah, I'm going Bama as well. This is a game where Oklahoma has the most elite thing in this game, which is their defense. Alabama's offense or defense is not elite, but they're both average out to a higher total score. If you're going to manage a score and go out of a score of 100, 50 for offense, 50 for defense, Oklahoma's defense is like a 49, but their offense is maybe a 25 at best, and you figure that Alabama's a 35-40 on both sides of the football. They're still really good football team on both sides. So this does come down to who turns the ball over more, who makes mistakes in crucial moments. Ty Simpson has been that guy who has been making mistakes recently, but John Mateer has consistently made those mistakes. I don't know if Oklahoma can keep a lead with John Mateer on the field. I don't know if they can keep picking up first downs to run the clock the way they would need to with the run game. And I feel like Alabama could be able to come back a little bit more, which is why I'm going to give them the edge. I also think they're both good coaches. Brent Venables is a hell of a defensive mind. Kalen DeBoer is a hell of a coach too. So I think it's very, very close in this game. But because they've already played once this season, I'm going to give it to Bama to say, I think you'll figure it out. You'll know how to get to Mateer a little bit better. You'll know how to defend against that. It's going to be crazy, the matchups. What Brent Venables throws is going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight with this Oklahoma defense. But I'm going to say Bama for this one as well, just because I think twice in a season, it's really hard to win. We saw it with Bama and Georgia. Kirby Smart came out, and who has had tons of problem with Alabama. And he had no problem in the second matchup. I don't think it'll be like that. But I do think that the second time is going to be it's going to be square, going to spin towards Alabama. All right. 11 a.m. Still don't know why you schedule this game at 11 a.m. Like for college. This is, again, TV doing TV things and not doing things for college football, which is put this game at 7 p.m. And I get that gives the Aggies a huge advantage. I don't care. It's the best game. Put it on at 7 p.m. The best game tomorrow, at least I'll say. Miami at Texas A&M. A&M favored by 3.5 there, Matt.
So you got it at 3.5.
I did. I had it at 3. I put the capper on it because I didn't want us to push on it.
Okay. Then I'm changing my pick. If this was a 3-point spread, I would have taken Texas A&M. 3.5, I'm taking Miami, and here's why. I think this is going to be a really tight defensive matchup. I think that both teams do things that give the other team trouble on both sides of the ball. Miami is littered on that team with a bunch of NFL dudes. I think that Texas A&M is also littered with a bunch of NFL dudes, and I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out, punch-you-in-the-mouth kind of football game. I think Le'Veon Moss is going to play tomorrow, which I think gives a huge advantage to Texas A&M because that is their best runner by a mile. It's no disrespect to Ruben Owens or anybody else on that team, on any of those other running backs, but Ruben Owens or
you're right. You're just stating facts.
Yeah, Le'Veon Moss is just better. I think that the final score of this game is going to be a field goal.
Okay.
I think that if Texas A&M has to rely on a field goal to win it, they're not going to be in good shape, but I think that they're just going to do enough and they're going to hold Miami out of the end zone on the final drive of the game. So I'm taking Miami to cover the 3.5, and I think A&M wins like 20-17.
Okay, we're in agreement on one thing: Texas A&M is going to win. I'll say that they cover the spread. I, as much as I don't trust the Aggies, I trust Mike Elko more than I trust Mario Cristobal and Carson Beck. Mm-hmm. I think that the issues of what would catch up with a Texas A&M team and an 11 a.m. game getting too hyped up and everything else is also going to be exactly the same problem for Carson Beck. Like, I think that what that little window that Miami would need to win this game is in that first quarter and a half. Miami has to jump out and play really good football to start. They have to terrorize Marcel Reed early. But I think A&M will settle in, and with Le'Veon Moss, if he plays in this game, it changes it to where they now have a running game, and you have to respect that. And that opens the world up for Marcel Reed so much more than it was when Le'Veon Moss was out. So yeah. I think with Le'Veon Moss in, I'll say that this is a different Texas A&M team. I still don't think it's a, you know, big, but I'll give them it more than 3. So I'll say 4-7. I think the score is what they win by. But being at home, having all those pieces, I just do not believe in this Miami team. I believe in the Miami defense. I believe in some of those Miami players, but I don't believe in the team as a whole. And maybe they prove me wrong tomorrow. could definitely be wrong, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M on that one. By the way, I'm up by 43-40, so I have to give you something to get in there too.
Yeah, that's true. I do think that there could be something that could be said about Texas giving Miami the blueprint to stop A&M.
I agree with that 100%. But I think with Le'Veon Moss, that blueprint's different.
It is. I'm talking about like offensively from Miami against A&M and then slowing down Marcel Reed. But you're right. It does change the math of the equation.
All right. Let's hit Tulane at Ole Miss. 17.5 points, Matt. This is a college football playoff game. John Summerall, 1 foot out the door. Going to take his headset off. Probably not even catch the flight. Go catch a different flight to Florida. Have his stuff mailed to him. He doesn't need to go back to Tulane after this game. We both have Ole Miss winning, but do they cover the spread?
Don't let the Rebs get hot. If they get hot, this is going to be one of the best teams in the field. They're going to win this game by 30. I got Ole Miss covering.
Oh, scholarship Burt. Scholarship Burt's the reason why Miami's losing. It's going to come down to a field goal, Matt. It's going to come down to a field goal, and they're going to have to send Burt Auburn out there.
Yeah.
And every Texas fan will be like, oh, man. You guys are in for it. You better be able to throw a 4th-and-90 touchdown pass to Matthew Golden to stay in this game. I know Burt Auburn is not even he's not even the kicker, but I'm saying there's an injury. I had to throw in there was an injury for Burt Auburn to come in. So you got Ole Miss covering. Look, I'll give you a chance on your alma mater to come back. I'm going to say Tulane in this one. I think Tulane is a decent football team. I think they're going to play for pride. I think Ole Miss is going to have a little bit of problem early in this game, because there's just going to be so much random BS around it. And once they start playing football, they'll be fine. But I think early, there's just going to be so much up in the air about everything. And, you know, going out there and then the crowd yelling at them, and then the people holding up signs that are Ole Miss people holding up signs that are like, we don't need Kiffin. And they're like, but I kind of like Lane Kiffin, but he's not. I think it's going to just maybe put a little bit on them that once they start playing, they'll be fine. So I'm going to hold the Tulane holds it to between 10 and 17.5, but I'm going to take the whole 17.5. But I think it'll be a double digit score win. But I'll give it that they keep it to like 2 scores and make it at least like, or John Summerall, whatever, like for all group of 5 teams gets like 2 garbage touchdowns.
Yeah, just
to,
maybe
just to push it back and go, no, see, group of 5s, man. It wasn't that bad.
See, this is why Lane Kiffin is letting all of those coaches coach for Ole Miss in the playoff.
Yeah, because LSU is going to pay him his bonuses.
Yes, and I think it also should be noted, John Summerall invited Lane Kiffin to the game to sit in his coach's box. Oh. I think he said no, but that would have been hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, Lane Kiffin's like, oh, let me go sit in the box where you're a Florida guy now, and there's going to be Florida people around me just being like, hey, you're only here because we want to get information. We're about to play you guys in LSU because we're in Florida. Yeah, it's silly. All right. That leads us to our final playoff game, Matt. James Madison at Oregon, 20.5 points, just under 3 scores for this one. James Madison at Oregon. James Madison, who should not be in this playoff. There's no excuse for it. I get it's the bylaws and everything else. There is no reason why James Madison should be in this playoff. Zero. There's absolutely none. Miami should be the ACC representative, and we should be able to get on with our day. I'll deal with Tulane, but let Miami be in there and give us one more at-large bid. I get it would be Notre Dame. I don't care. It would at least make one of these games better and give me 3 games to watch instead of 2. So
how much better would Miami Oregon and Notre Dame have been, man?
How about Notre Dame and Ole Miss, Texas versus Oregon?
Yeah.
How about those games to start off college?
I'd be in Eugene right now.
Yeah, and no, but we'd all be super hyped. Everyone would be like, holy crap, these matchups are amazing. But no, we get Tulane and James Madison. Hey, prove us wrong, guys. Prove us wrong, group of five. Keep it within 20. Prove us wrong. All right, yeah. 20 and a half there. James Madison at Oregon.
I think Oregon could possibly win this game by 50. I think they'll probably win it by 31, 28 or 31. So I've got them covering.
I think that Dan Lanning will realize at halftime he should probably not run the score up as much as he's going to when it's like 35-0 at halftime. And he's going to realize, guys, as much as I would love to prove a point here, I do want to rest some of you guys because we do have more playoff games to win. So I think they'll pull off the gas a little bit and win by 30.
Okay.
But we both have Oregon. Again, James Madison should not be in this. I get they're not a terrible football team. They also should not be in the playoffs. They just shouldn't be.
They might beat BYU.
Tulane? It might have been, but I've been fine with BYU. It wouldn't have been a fun game to watch, but it's better than the old James Madison.
They couldn't BYU beat Louisville. Has a shot. They couldn't stay within two scores of Louisville.
I mean, BYU at least has a shot. BYU is like, oh, if they throw some picks, they play bad, they're not ready for you. BYU's got a shot to win that game. But no, we get James Madison. All right, couple of NFL picks real quick, Matt. We'll talk some Cowboys and some Texans as well here. Packers at the Bears, big matchup here. No Micah Parsons. This one's big in the NFC. Bears are favored by 1.5. What do you like?
With no Micah Parsons, I have a really hard time believing. Is this game at Chicago?
At Chicago.
I have a really hard time believing.
By the way, Chicago may become Indiana. Apparently that whole deal they were going to do for a stadium, the mayor there was like, yeah, you're not a priority. So now they're looking at other places, including Northern Indiana for this Bears stadium.
Wow. I'm going to go with the Bears.
The Bears and Ben Johnson to take down the Packers. You know what? I've given you two already that I've done different. I'm going with the Bears as well. This is a really, really big game for the Packers because it is post Micah Parsons. There are some questions about everything that's been happening. If they can win this one, it makes them feel a little bit better going into the playoffs. They feel all right. I know Chip Brown is really, really rooting for the Bears, which is weird because, but the Lions need the Bears to lose or the Packers to lose. Lions need the Packers to start tanking. So they're going to be rooting for that one. And our last pick of our six picks, Matt, in week 18, I counted the weeks we've done, 18 weeks so far of picks. Week 18, Patriots at the Ravens. Ravens favored by 3. No respect for the Patriots. They lost to the Bills last week. Now they play the Ravens, trying to hold on to any hope of winning that division, hope of making the playoffs for the Baltimore Ravens. They're favored by 3 at home. What do you like in this game?
What are our scores right now?
I have 43. You have 40. I'll tell you what. I'll pick whatever the other side is. I'll pick whatever the other side is.
No, you don't have to do that.
I'll pick whatever side.
No, we've got multiple more weeks of this, Patrick. You don't have to give that to me. I'm taking the Patriots just because I don't believe that the Ravens are going to be able to get it done. Like the Patriots have been playing really good football. The Ravens have been extremely inconsistent. And I think the Patriots are one of the best teams in football. I really do. So I'm gonna go with them.
I think the Patriots are a really good football team, and it would not surprise me at all if they win this game. I don't like that they're getting points in this either. But I'm going to go ahead and take the Ravens. I do think that the Ravens are much more in a position of we have to win. We have to win. And the Patriots don't. And I know they're young and they're hungry, and Mike Vrabel is going to get them ready to play. But I do think that the Ravens are a bit more experienced at this, of staying alive. So while I agree with you, they have been wildly inconsistent this season. I'm going to say that the Ravens hold on here and get a win and stay alive for another week. So we do not get a playoffs where Josh Allen walks into the playoffs doing a little dance because guess what? The Ravens and the Chiefs are both out. It's like, man, I had two main AFC rivals and they're both not there. all right, time for us to make it to a Super Bowl and lose. But, you know, it's Buffalo. I did like John McClain earlier today was like, he really wanted the Bills versus the Lions of just the tortured fan bases.
Yeah.
Which I do like the tortured fan bases. That is a fun one to do. All right. So that puts us with, we both have Alabama. You have Miami covering, but losing. You have Miami, but you get it. Even if they win, you get it because you got them covering. I have Texas A&M. I'm just saying so people know. I have Texas A&M covering the spread there at 3.5. You have Ole Miss covering 17.5. I have Tulane trying to fight for the G5, trying to hang in there. So they are, I have Tulane covering 17.5. We both have Oregon boat racing James Madison. We both took the Bears to really put a hurting on the Packers and Ben Johnson to continue his meteoric rise as a head coach. And you took the Patriots. I took the Ravens there in the Sunday night football matchup. There's Saturday night football in the NFL as well, Matt, which is, are you a fan of the Saturday night football or not?
No.
For the NFL? You like, leave that for Sunday. We don't need it. You don't need to compete. Like, first of all, how funny is it that the NFL once again tried to, overstep their bounds to control that we are the main biggest sports fandom and biggest sports viewership in the country. We're going to take it over. What are the Christmas Day games? Christmas Day, which is historically a NBA day, historically a basketball day. The NFL said, screw you, NBA. We're coming onto your turf. What games do they get, Matt? They get the Cowboys and Commanders. They get the Lions and Vikings. And they get the Broncos and Chiefs. Those are three non-playoff mattering games for three teams. The Cowboys technically, but that game really, I mean, it's a Cowboys, but Cowboys Commanders, not a good game. Vikings, no good. Chiefs, no good. So it is a definite piece right there for the Cowboys or for the NFL, what they got going on. The Cowboys do take on the Chargers this week. We've heard a lot, Matt, about the Cowboys and what their thoughts are on the rest of the season. And they have shut down any talk of Joe Milton coming in, that they're still trying to win football games. They want to go Jerron Bland now out with the foot injury, seeing if Trayvon Diggs comes back this week, or they say neither one of them are going to be playing. Matt Eberflus going up to the box. They're at home against the Chargers. They're favored in this game still, Matt. Can you explain to me why they are favored in this game?
Probably because Vegas is trying to, you know, make a lot of money, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how all that works. Here's what I'll say. As it sits, the Dallas Cowboys are 6-7-1. I have been calling for them to go 8-8-1 for this entire season almost. Their last two games are against the Commanders and the Giants, which they will win both of. So I have them losing to the Chargers and finishing the season 8-8-1. And like, if they thought they were going to have a problem with JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, Justin Herbert's pretty good at football.
Justin Herbert is going to throw for like 450. I'm so excited that I have Ladd McConkey in fantasy this weekend. I'm so excited.
All right. The Texans take on the Raiders, Matt. 14.5 point spread on this one. This one, that spread seems a little bit more early meathead on that one. Maurice Jones-Drew picked the Raiders to win in their picks.
Hmm.
Why?
Isn't he a former Raider?
I don't care. They're tanking. They don't want to win. No, Max Crosby wants to win. Pretty much the only guy who wants to win there. This one, they're 2-12. Texans defense has been playing crazy. Geno Smith may fake an injury in the first half to get out of this game. It is now the Texans have to show up. It's a home game. You got to play well. All the things you got to say about these. But this feels again like the Texans have a what they want in their hands on this one, that they can come out and make a big statement and move up. Because the other game, Matt, that's a big one for the Texans that they'll all be watching in the 3 o'clock game, because The Raiders Texans will be at 3:25. Across the way in Denver is the Jags and Broncos. And that is a very big game for the Texans because they are a game behind the Jags right now. They need them to lose one. And so you could lose this one to the Broncos, who are 12-2, playing well. They're 3.5-point favorites. You want to see that one, Matt. And then on Monday Night Football, you get the 49ers and the Colts with Phillip Rivers. That if you get the Colts to lose another game, it kind of pushes them further away, that you're not, you don't have to worry about it as much. And maybe the Colts then are trying to win their last game against the Jags, and you can get it. But for the Texans, those three big games in the AFC South matter a lot.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the Texans' second shutout of the season. I don't think the Raiders are going to score on them. If they do, it'll be single digits. I got the Texans covering and winning this one easy. And I also think the Broncos are going to beat the Jags because the Broncos just don't know how to die. They're last year's Chiefs. They just win every one score game no matter what.
Yeah.
You could score a touchdown and take a 6-point lead with, or a 7-point lead with 1 second left on the clock, and Denver will figure out a way to get the football in the end zone on the ensuing kickoff, and then they will go for two and they will win the game. I'm taking the Broncos.
Yeah, I like that one. And then 49ers, 10-4 49ers, get another win on Monday Night Football. You know,
yeah, they're going to crush the Colts.
They're 5.5-point favorites there. They're playing in Indy. See if old man Rivers can get it going. But those are some big games. Steelers, Lions, also a big game. Both teams 8-6. That one's on Sunday as well. Panthers, Bucks, really big game of two 500 teams at 7-7, but it matters to who's going to win that division. So lots of really good NFL football on Sunday. That Packers Bears on Saturday night, I'll probably watch some of that instead of watching Oregon James Madison. Be able to turn that one off 8 minutes into that game. Put on a secondary TV, keep up with it, but don't have to watch it fully because, you know, you don't have
what
to.
What time is the Ole Miss game?
Isn't that the middle one?
I think, is it like 2:30 or something?
Yeah, I feel like it's on TNT as well.
That's so gross. Why are you putting it on TNT? Now that means I'm probably going to have to get a day pass on like Sling TV or something.
Maybe if you have HBO Max.
Oh, I do have that. Thank God.
So maybe on there as well. So you have to see. I don't know if HBO Max, if that just comes with it all the time, or you have to have a special subscription or whatever that is. But it is that one is at 2:30, Tulane and Ole Miss, TNT, HBO Max, and True TV. So that is where that game is on. ABC and ESPN for Miami and Texas A&M at 11. And then 6:30 is also James Madison, Oregon, is also on the TNT, HBO Max, and True TV. So they've put the two big games on ABC, and then they gave these two crappy group of five teams to TNT.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
It's such a thing of like, guys, we all know this doesn't matter. Like, it's a playoff game and we're just sticking it over there. We've stolen inside the NBA from you guys. And so here's your deal. I don't know if that's from the same deal, but they get some crumbs back from it. It's Joe. This is how a lot of people feel right now.
I won't.
I mean,
I'd rather watch anything else than that game.
I don't know if I'll red zone it or watch it, but I'll at least have it on a screen. I'll at least have it on a screen because I do watch all the Cowboys games. I watch all the Texans games.
I'm just so out on the Cowboys this year that I.
And that's the thing. I've never been a Cowboys fan. I root for the Cowboys because my friends are Cowboys fans, and I'm more the guy who likes to my friends to be happy, so I root for those teams. But in reality, I because I've covered them for years. I've talked about them on air for years, and they're an interesting team to talk about. So I watch a lot of their games because of my job. And I've been lucky enough to have a job where watching the Cowboys was part of it. I know some people would say that's unlucky, but and not a fan, they're a fun team to cover.
Yeah, I mean, they're the most entertaining bad team in sports.
What's that bourbon again, Sam?
Penelope Architect.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Let's take our second break here, Matt. I'm gonna go stir that queso again, and we'll come back, wrap it up the last few minutes here, giving what you know a little bit more of what we think is gonna happen tonight, because you know I just want to get what we think is gonna happen tonight, what we think is gonna happen tomorrow, so maybe a bold prediction or two, or maybe not even bold, just predictions for what we think will happen. And you know, we've given the spreads, but I think there's a little bit more meat on that bone, Matt. There's probably a little bit more meat. Get it there. Instead of jumping in a whole new topic with 15 minutes left in the show, I think we can do it.
I think we can do it.
All right. We're going
to talk about Texas for 2 hours. We can talk about Oklahoma for 15 minutes.
Without throwing up, man, it's hard. We got to take our second break. We'll come right back here. Anything else y'all want to hit, throw it in the chat, throw it in the text line, and we'll hit it before we get out of here on an open gym, open bar Friday afternoon here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave. Your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now, and if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The Lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers. Both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got a great pils, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Hey, y'all. I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
All right, welcome back in to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. My shirt's getting loose on me. I love it. I'm trying to lose some weight, so I'm working on it. Myself, Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. Of course, you, the third member. Anything you want us to hit here in the last 15 minutes, throw it in there on the chat, and we will try and get to everybody here. We always try and get to you. Matt sent me a meathead. I'll save it for Monday. Save it for Monday, because I didn't already pull it. I haven't listened to it yet, so I don't know how bad it is. I've got one that's just a fun one. It's a fun one for a Friday going into it. Talking about sports packages there on the chat. That's one of the good things about doing sports is you can write off, you know, TV packages. I'll tell you, just had a chip of the queso, Matt. I think I might have nailed it. It's a little spicy, but the group tonight likes it a little spicy. So this is, it's got that good heat. I'm already ready for another bite of it. You want that good heat in there, but it is, it's, I made it the other day, or I made it what, 2-3 weeks ago. And I put a lot of stuff in it and it just didn't hit. It wasn't hot enough. Mm-hmm. Like I was eating, I was like, it's got a kick, but it doesn't have the kick that people expect when Patrick Davis makes queso. They expect something that they're like, tomorrow's going to be not fun. We're also making wings, so there's going to be even more of that. It's going to be a lot of spice, but this is the great part about spice, Matt. Makes you drink faster.
It does. I'm going to ask you something, Patrick, and you don't have to say yes. But for Christmas, for my Christmas present, I would like you to send me a detailed queso recipe.
I also need some queso. I've told other people. It's not a super hidden recipe.
I just like I love queso. It's one of my top like three favorite foods. And I'm very enticed. It sounds right up my alley. So I think I need to try
it. It's good that you can throw it on some nachos because it's got some meat in it. So it's got the protein in it anyway. Throw it on some French fries, wherever you want to put it on. It's very, very good. But yeah, I can feel it in my mouth still. So I'm good. You want to have that heat. It's still with you a couple minutes later. That's how you know it's really where you want it to be. And you can dial up and dial back the heat on a couple different things in there, especially how many habaneros and stuff like that you put in there. But you want to make it. This is like I have to make this queso differently, Matt, depending on who the party is for and who's hanging out. Like if it's a lot more girls, I tend to dial it down a little bit. You know, like, all right, this is like younger people. You're just like, all right. But if it's just a bunch of old grizzled veterans like this is, like Bama Bruce is coming by and those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like none of us can feel anything anymore. We've done too much to our bodies in our lives. So we're like, yeah, no, make it burn. Give me something I can feel. Give me that.
That's what you want that version. That's the version I want.
Yeah, no, four jalapenos today, four serranos, and three habaneros.
Is this the version of Memphis that played Tulane within one score? Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was not a surprisingly not a close game I was watching there. I mean, now granted, they did shut out NC State in the second half. I mean,
they lost their head coach. He's at Arkansas now.
No. Well, good for them. Good for Arkansas. Yeah, Matt, so tonight, Alabama, Oklahoma, and tomorrow morning, those are the two big games. Do you see anything specifically in those two games that really you think stands out more than anything else of what is, you know, we can always say it's a line of scrimmage game. We could always say it's who wants it more. You know, whoever scores the most points is going to win. We know those sayings, but is there any matchups or anything you're specifically watching in these?
I mean, in terms of matchups, I don't know. I'm really excited to see R. Mason Thomas versus Caden Proctor. I think that's going to be a really good matchup. But honestly, like I said a minute ago, I'm a quarterback guy. So I want to see these two quarterbacks go back and forth and see who makes the mistakes first. Because I think that's going to dictate who wins this game. Turnovers are going to dictate who wins this football game. And I think that Ryan Williams is an X factor in this game. Because if he can finally show up and play the way that he played last year, potentially, and not muff a punt and then maybe make a game-breaking play, then I think Oklahoma is going to be in trouble. Both of these quarterbacks are mistake-prone. And I think that is going to be the theme of this game. Which team makes more mistakes?
Do you think either team runs the ball with any sort of effectiveness?
I think that there's a very good possibility. I'm not saying this is going to happen. So Brooks does this thing on his show that I think is really funny, where you make
Brooks Austin, by the way, the film guy, follow him online.
Yes, please follow the film guy. He does this thing on his show. It's called Unless It Doesn't Happen. So it's like a bold prediction, unless it doesn't happen. My bold prediction is that both of these teams will combine for negative rushing yards. Unless it doesn't happen.
Unless it doesn't happen. I don't know. I feel like one of them is going to get it going for like a quarter. I feel like one of them is going to get it going for like a quarter in there where you'll just get it going, whether it is quarterback, whether it's like John Mateer just scrambling, or whether it's Ty Simpson all of a sudden breaking outside and gets you like, but I think like one quarter is going to have one of these teams go off and then it's going to shut back down again. But I just don't feel either team is really going to be able to get going. But I like that bold prediction there. Also, Miami.
Yeah, go ahead. It should be noted that sacks count against rushing yards for quarterbacks in college, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's true.
There so could, it could be a few sacks in this game.
It could be. I like that. And what about over there on the Miami Texas A&M game? Reuben Baines is going to be fun to watch in that game for sure. I think Le'Veon Moss is going to be a ton of fun to watch and see what he's able to do. If he's able to take this A&M offense and kind of put it up to the heights that it was getting earlier in the season. What do you think?
I don't want to be the cliche guy necessarily, yeah, but I legitimately think that this game's going to be won on the line of scrimmage, because Texas A&M really struggles against the type of rushing team that Miami is, which is the outside zone gap scheme running attack. Yeah. And Texas A&M is really good at stopping what Miami does best in the passing game, which is screen passes to Malachi Toney. They're the best in the country at it, in fact. So each of these teams has an advantage over the other that I think is going to be really important, that is within the first 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I think that the difference is going to be potentially Le'Veon Moss being back, but really I think it's going to be Marcel Reed's legs. I think he's going to make a play with his legs, whether it's running for a long touchdown or just escaping pressure and hitting Mario Craver or Casey Concepcion in open space, and they're going to house a long play, and that's going to be the difference in the game.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. It does feel like A&M has the explosive play in there once or twice in this game where they're going to be able to get something that maybe spins the edge between this, where Miami's going to try and play it. Like, I just don't know what the margin of error for Miami feels pretty slim. Now, granted, A&M has just all season long been all margin of error. Where they just completely screw up, and like the South Carolina game is your best example of it, but where they've had it, where they just don't play well for a little bit and then still win. So they've been able to do that all season, except for when they played Texas. You know, Miami's watched that game 100 times now to figure out everything they do. And then they realize they don't have Trey Wisner. That's really it. Trey Wisner, the rivalry killer there at Texas, just is able to go in there and get those done. All right, Matt. Let's do our meathead of the day here. This is just a fun one. I think a lot of people have seen it. Kirby Smart wants to build this kid a statue, but you gotta love teaching your kids right about college football. If you can't tell, that is a class singing Rocky Top, and the Georgia Bulldog fan in the back is saying no, and he refuses to sing that. Singing Rocky Top, Tennessee, that there is a little kid in the back shaking his head, looking like a young Kirby Smart, shaking his head just like, no. Not singing Rocky Top, Tennessee. Not happening. Not for this Georgia Bulldog. And I just love it. It is so great. How adamant he is about loving his team. And I'm like, I love that from a kid. Doesn't seem like he's not mean. He's just sitting there in his Georgia shirt saying no.
That kid's going places. That kid sticks by his principles. He is a little bit stubborn. But damn it if I don't respect him, Patrick. That kid is going to be a star.
Apparently,
that kid might be the next Kirby Smart. We don't know. Kirby, he's got Kirby, the haircut.
Apparently, Kirby said today that he would like to build a statue for this kid outside the stadium.
He should.
What identifies? So I would not be surprised if this kid is not in attendance for Georgia's next playoff game. Would not surprise me one bit. To put him in the stands, and they cut over to him in the crowd, and he's just saying no.
That kid is going to land a major NIL deal before he even gets to middle school.
Wait, is he going to be like the boombox guy?
He is. He's going to get like $1 million NIL deal from some Georgia dealership or Athens company, and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I just love that one. I thought on a Friday we'd end on a happy note with a football fan kid. Hey, look, those Christmas concerts already, if your kid ain't in them, they're not very good. If your kid's in them, the best thing you've ever seen. But if you have not, not great. Yeah, Matt, we got a lot of good football to watch this weekend. We're going to come back next week. We've only got Monday and Tuesday, so we're going to hit it hard on Monday and Tuesday, wrapping it up, talking about how our predictions went, how the group of five shouldn't have been in there. We knew that the whole time, and everybody knew that, yet somehow two group of five teams are in there. We will get into all of that. It's going to be a fun one next week, man.
It is, and I can't wait for my Rebels to get matched up against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Hey, that'll be a fun one to watch as well. Have they played? They played Georgia this year, or they played Alabama this year?
They played Georgia. They were beating them the whole game and then blew it in the fourth quarter and lost by a score.
So Ole Miss has a path where they played two games they've played this season already in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Who seeded this crap? Come on, guys. All right.
Not me.
We're going to get out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Remember to be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean, and we'll see you right back here on Monday for more from Open Gym.